Welcome to episode 175 of the Better With Running podcast. My name is Chris Armstrong. I'm a Run to PB coach. And I tell you what, Zaka, I'm very excited about Hot Cross Buns being back on the shelves at Coles, made their debut or their return yesterday on Boxing Day, as is tradition up here at Shepparton. But enough about that. As always, joined by your good self, mate, the fellow Run to PB coach. And I believe you've had a very good Christmas as well. How are you going?
I did, mate. Yes. A Merry Christmas to you, mate. And obviously, we got a chance last week to talk about our plans. And then, yeah, it was good to obviously catch up with family and have Christmas. And yeah, you're straight into the Easter spirit, mate, getting in the hot cross bun train.
No, I'll look at it. Hot cross buns are a bit like a good fartlek session, mate. They're only here for 4 months and then they're gone for 8 months. So just making the most of the period that they are here.
You loaded up already.
I have. So yeah. Coles at the moment, and look, it may have been a day special. I don't know, but didn't want to hesitate. So straight in there in the afternoon. So I went to the gym and then thought, what better way to celebrate going to the gym on Boxing Day than to pop into Coles and just see what's on offer. And sure enough, towards the back near the bakery section, they had everything. You know, we're talking apple and cinnamon, choc chip, fruitless, and your traditional fruit, which is what I'm a big fan of. Two packs, $7. Not a paid ad for Coles, I must add, because let's be honest, Coles are not flicking anything our way to pop up their hot cross buns. But no, I did indulge in a couple of packs. And of the 12, there is about four of those delicious.
Good snack. Do you toast them?
So when they're fresh, no, I just eat them straight out of the packet.
Yeah,
they're nice. While they're still steamy. But as they deteriorate sounds like such a harsh word, but as they become less steamy and a little bit more compact, I find that stale is another word that some may use in our household. But do find that toasting them with some generous lashings of butter is the best way to go.
No, good call. I reckon it's a good little pre-run snack.
Pre-long run?
Yeah, definitely. Long run. But mate, we're not on here to chat all about our cross buns. We're actually going to talk a little bit about running. We've both kept rolling through over the Christmas break. Didn't do the Sebco double session on Christmas Day, mate.
No. Christmas Day I had originally planned to run, and about 8 o'clock Christmas Eve, the wind started to roll in. And by wind, I mean hurricane. I don't know where the hell it came in from, but the pristine garden that I've spent months curating was absolutely smashed to smithereens. And if anyone's got a gum tree around their front yard in Shepparton, well, they don't anymore because it's down on the ground and everywhere. So it absolutely pounded with rain most of that night, well into Christmas Day. And I just went, nah, if I'm going to have a rest day this week, let's just bump it forward to Christmas Day. And I was not one of the brave people to go out and run in the weather. Even Park Run got cancelled here because there was light. There was actually lightning around. And I just thought, look, I looked at the weather forecast for the next day and thought, no, I don't need to be out in this. So, definitely enjoyed a bit of a sleep in. But I did see, I saw a Christmas Day run for yourself.
Yeah, I got out with, started with Ben Kelly. We did a run and then we running around the town and we picked up another couple of lone rangers that were just floating around, some of the regulars, and they all joined. So I ended up starting with two, ended with five in the end, four or five of us. So that was good. Michael, you might know Michael Marantelli.
Yes, I know that.
He was cruising around. He's getting ready for a circus. So he tacked on and boundary umpire. So he copped a bit of flack from Callum, who's a mad footy fan. But it was look, it's one of those things. If you this time of the year is like, just being flexible. And like I think I'd taken off Christmas Eve. Maybe I hadn't run Christmas Eve, or no, I did a session Christmas Eve. But yeah, it's still sort of those ones where you can just sort of pick and choose. Like I had a couple of athletes say, I had planned Boxing Day sessions, and it was like, oh yeah, I think I went a bit too hard on Christmas Day. Let's move our rest day to Boxing Day, which is totally fine, or add an extra day in there. So, yeah, Got out, but yeah, it wasn't a beautiful start morning, but yeah, ticked it off. It you ended up knocking out, oh, well, you're a week, 83K, so pretty big mileage, mate.
Yeah, solid weight coming into Christmas, so I was pretty happy with that. I mean, most of it was easy running again, but did a bit of Ana Fartlek, which is mine and Anna's, I guess, Christmas tradition now. We do that as the last session before Christmas. It's a yeah, it's fartlek session that Anna actually created at my encouragement. It was more just to get her thinking a bit more about her running, but I reckon she's come up with a beauty here. So all the recoveries are floats for this one. It's a 24-minute session, 6 minutes at Freshie with a 90-second recovery, and then 4 minutes at 10K with another 90 seconds float. Then you've got 2 by 2 minutes at 5K effort, both with 90 seconds recovery, and then starts getting to a bit faster stuff. So a minute at 3K with a minute float, and then 2 by 30 seconds, which the 30 seconds at the end amount to strides, and then just with a 30 second recovery, because you're just sort of decelerating a little bit over the 30 seconds before you wind up again. So we really like that one because it's just a nice progressive gear change as you go through, and the floats keep you pretty honest. So by the end of that 24 minutes, yeah, you know you've done something, that's for sure. But I think this one, I not that we really, I know there's some people who love counting a session PB. But yeah, this one for me was one of the better efforts that I've done with this one. So I think a bit over 6.5 Ks in the 24 minutes, which is around 3:40 for the whole
That's
session, which
solid. Yeah.
yeah,
What were you hitting the 6 minutes, 6 and 4 minutes at then?
so 6 minutes would have been around 3:39, 3:40,
Yeah.
and 4 minutes is more closer to goal 10K than actual 10K, if we're being
Yeah.
completely honest. But I went through that 4 minutes in around sort of 3:31, 3:32 for the
Solid.
4 minutes. So, yeah.
The six and the, yeah, with 90 seconds between the six and the four, and then another 90 after that four. Yeah, you'd be feeling that after the 10 minutes of work.
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty
But
solid.
then it's 2 minutes, like 2 by 2. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, by the end of that second lot of 90 seconds after the second 2 minute, you're not feeling too bad. So 90 seconds low off the back of a 2 minute effort is pretty generous. That disappears very quickly though, once you do a minute at 3K with a minute float into 2 by 30 seconds. So
Yeah.
it seems generous at the time, but once you're sort of trying to move pretty quick over those last few minutes, then yeah, you're very grateful for that for that recovery. But no, it's a nice, as I said, it's a nice one to move through the gears, and you are, I wouldn't say you don't, certainly don't go to the well, but yeah, so long as you've been sensible in that 6 and 4, then there is generally a little bit left to give in those 1 minute and 30 second efforts at the end.
Yeah, it's mate, it's a solid session and it's good signs, you know. This, I guess that's a strength coming through as well. You know, you're gonna hit the track, I assume, to, you know, do a few tune ups before. Well, you won't actually get on that track, will you? You'll have to do some shorter reps that are more 5K stuff as well. I'm
Yeah,
so.
drove past the track on Sunday as we went to visit Nora's mum, and I looked at that fence they've built. I reckon it's scalable. For the record, I think if you organise yourself well, that fence can definitely be scaled. There's no barbed wire on the top, so if I can just get hold of a rope, I reckon I could get
I know I
access
was
to
on
it.
the track. I assume that no one was actually using the athletics track that's in Shepparton that's been built, you know, used, you know. The purpose of an athletics track is for people on there using it. I assume not
Oh,
them.
God, no. No one runs on it. It's mate, it's
No.
in pristine
Looks good though.
condition. Oh, mate, that it's got a really nice deep blue color, which has stayed almost as new from the first time they laid it. So, the thing that I do notice, and I think this is more a bit funny, that most times when I go past, and I think this is a permanent thing now, but all the gates are permanently open, and you'd be like, oh my God, they're just going to run in what lane one and destroy the track. Well, no, it's not a problem because no, I can get in there. So lane one's still in great nick, as is lane two through to lane eight. at Shepparton. So,
So, what are your thoughts on sessions on the footy oval? So, our man down in Tassie, Matty Morgan, was down doing a quarter session on a footy oval today. And they said, I mean, of course, he's at Matty Morgan time, even though it is holidays. He's out there at 5:15 a.m., knocking out a quarter session off the back of a pretty reasonable session of Christmas lunch into Boxing Day. So yeah, he's then out on the oval, and I said, that's a, you know, that's not a, and that was our only option. Couldn't get on the same boat down in Lonnie. I hit up Josh Harris and said, mate, is there any way you can get onto the track down in Lonnie? He said, there is absolutely zero chance you'll get on that track. But yeah, he bashed it out at around an oval. And yeah, it's a hard spot to do at quarters, isn't it? Rolling on a footy oval.
Yeah, I think if it was a footy oval where it's being marked for athletics, like I know in Moama, beautiful oval. Mark's pure out there for athletics, and it can be a bit lumpy in spots, but very, very nice oval. But if you're just running around the boundary where it's been set up for cricket or footy, that sucks because that's not a 400 meter lap, depending on the size of the oval or the markings. So that can be a bit disorientating and very repetitive when you train on the track. You've got
That's
your lines and you've got things to work to, and you sort of know,
100%.
right, mentally nice and easy. Footy oval, which, let's be honest, depending on who's marked it and when, it could be closer to a square or a rectangle. Could be, no, who knows?
Particularly
Yeah, because.
quarter session, where I've always found I've done a lot of quarters on the track. And I mean, the only other place I've done quarters is up at Falls, where you do it on a sort of a 600 meter loop. You go straight out 400, go up 100, jog back 100, start again and do the 400. And I mean, there's, if you look at, you'll see it come up. Actually, probably, well, it's probably a few people doing it yesterday. Being a, sure, do they do quarters on a Tuesday? Maybe they, it's all changed, but actually, usually it's on the Thursday. So you might see it on socials tomorrow. There'll be a bunch of people rolling out of quarters at Falls, and you see, like, you know, 150, 200 people doing quarters on a straight line. But I've always done on a track and found that, yeah, because of the nature of those 200 floats, it's like you can really, and you can time it in that you get a few laps where you do that 400 at the start finish. And yes, you are, like, varying where your 200 recovery is, but when you're on an oval and you're just going around and around, you do lose that sense of, like, where you're at, and you can reset on the track. It's like, if you've got those straights, get into a straight and you're just, okay, I'll just lock in for the next 100, get to a bend, work again. And then, it's so tough when you're doing it on the oval, where you're just rolling constantly on that bend.
Oh, that's it. And you've got bloody old Jono's dog who's off the leash chasing a frisbee, potentially that's going to go under your legs. And
Or someone come down for a kick of the footy, which is fine at the
I
footy oval, but then, the football's coming at your head, and you're trying to finish off a hard 400. But
it is,
it's a hard
you know
one.
what it reminds me of, Zacha? It's sort of undermine or underlining Maddie's blue collar status. It's a bit like Rocky chasing the chickens. He didn't have the best of facilities, and he's just out there trying to make the best of what he's got. In prep for his battle with Paul in January, when they're going to throw down this 5K. Paul up there in
Sprinkled
Hobart,
around, yeah,
access to
5 a.m.
track. Everything. He's a bit like Ivan Drago. Paul, just a white collar, full backing of a good crew in the background, which is good. We certainly don't begrudge that. But Maddie's out there toiling away in Launceston, in one of your traditional blue collar towns in the state of Tasmania. And he's out there slogging away, carrying logs, getting down to the footy ground, do his quarter session.
I mean,
He's doing it
for
tough, and we admire that.
Maddie is going to be first. He's going straight into a race on the track. Never raced on the track. Never stepped foot on a track. So, and there's probably a number of people that are listening that have never been on a track, and then they're going to go do, to go and do your first race. Like, I always like, and That was the idea of trying to get on the Hello Tracker Lonnie to just do a workout, get familiar with it, get used to the bends and get used to the lanes, and then you throw, 15, 20 people in there. It's gonna be an experience for him. And look, he's switched on runner. He'll work it out. But yeah, it is tricky to not get that opportunity to just get on and get familiar with a few sessions.
No, hopefully, if the good people at Launceston Council or whoever are responsible for the track, Maddie's out there toiling away, does a lot for the community. I think just
Give him the keys.
give him
Give
the
him,
keys, lend him a
yeah.
hand. People, good
I'm
people
sure
like
they're
you.
listening. I'm sure they're big fans of listening to running podcasts.
I have no. Well, James Hansen does have some connections there from the mayor.
Yeah, might actually hit. Yeah.
So if maybe like Jimmy can extend the olive branch via the mayor just to look out for Maddie, just to give him a bit of a leg up, because I don't think it's too much to ask. Just even just one track session, just to give him a bit of a tune up. So yeah,
And he's got
hopefully.
some wheels, mate. He's, you know, might starting to get rolling. I might be able to just say, look, Jimmy, if you need a guy to help out just for a couple of reps, and maybe just throw him on the front.
Throw him on the front, spikes on. And Maddie's doing all these in shoes as well. So yeah, I think looking forward to seeing how his training develops over the next few weeks as he leads in, just starting to show some promising signs.
Mate, finished the 2 hour. 2 hours, yes, long run.
Yeah, 2 hour long run.
That is a long run, mate.
Yeah,
yeah.
It is for me. Gosh.
But do you pretty much sit on 2 hours throughout the year? Or you get out 1:45?
Yeah, it had been 1:45. Then
it's 2 hours in summers, when you're focusing, I guess, 5K, 10K work, knowing that you're gonna get into winter. I guess if you can handle the mileage, the volumes, obviously. You're obviously body holding up to that kind of K's on a Sunday, but it's good going.
Yeah, I did ask Andy a couple of months ago now, I think, just to ask if we could increase the mileage a little bit. And the first place he wanted to start at for that was the long run. So first part of that is stretching the long run out to 2 hours and show that I can handle that and continue to back up week after week after week. So good signs so far. Obviously, that'll come down as we get closer to race day to freshen up a little bit. But I'm really enjoying the longer long run.
You on the
So,
gels on those 2 hour long runs?
yeah, absolutely. When it's minimum of one gel, but when it's warm, so for me, warmth is sort of anything above 16, 17 degrees by the end of the run. But yeah, usually I've been trying to have one at about 45 minutes and then a second one at about an hour and a half, because I'd rather finish a long run feeling really good by having just, I guess, put that gel in not that long ago, as opposed to just taking one and then getting to the end feeling a bit ratty. I just feel I recover a lot better if I sort of be pretty consistent with the nutrition on the run. And it seems to be helping at the moment.
Got a flavor of choice at the moment?
Yeah, Morton.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Top shelf for you, mate. Nothing.
So, no, I do enjoy the Morton. It just sits well. It might be the odd occasion where it bubbles around the tummy or a bit high in the throat there at certain times, but for the most part, it sits pretty well. And yeah, haven't
you tried
had
the
one
precision
repeat.
yet? Had a crack at the precision gels?
No, heard good things, but haven't
chatting
tried.
To Brady about it, and we're sort of chatting with the rival podcast about some things with that brand, and they're doing some good stuff.
I wouldn't say no if some happen to land on my bench top at home just to give it a try. But I do have a box and a half of Morton gels to still get my way through. So.
The big claim to fame is the 90-gram big serving that they've got that comes in a little squeezy top, so you can actually carry it and then put a lid back on and keep going, as opposed to, when you get a gel and I don't know if you take a little bit and then like fold it over and run with it, and then it gets on your hands and on your shorts or wherever. Whereas this is a little bit more of a cleaner setup, and being 90, but it's yes.
90's nearly a meal.
Yeah, yeah.
The good thing about the Morton nose is because it's got that gelatin. It doesn't just gush out of the pack. You can just nibble away at it and it'll sit there. The only thing I've sort of found in the warmer weather, it goes very warm. And look, you're only taking it because you're running. If it was for any other reason, you wouldn't put that stuff anywhere near your mouth because it's not the greatest consistency when it's hot. But yeah, no, look, I'm curious. I like the sound of
Well, stay tuned, mate. Could be something for you to
it.
try down the track.
What about yourself, mate? What's the last 7 days look like for you? Obviously, got out on Christmas Day, but I'm
I
doing a couple of sessions.
shuffled the week around a little bit with just social activities going on and fitting, winding down work and then just into family commitments and all the rest of it. But hit Friday. So I did a Friday session. It got done a Tuesday one. I went Tuesday, Friday. But Friday was 3 by 8 minutes of 2 minute recovery. So I'd done that threshold, I think, last week where it was just 24 minutes straight, 25 minutes. So hitting this one, I was sort of keen to just, I guess, build on top of that. Those 8 minutes is really get used to the dialing into that 3:40s for the first couple and then try and push it down to 3:30s. But then warmed up at the Boulevard and chucked the watch on. And then as, and I was looking at splits live and it was coming up. I got a gauge of what kind of pace I was running. But then afterwards, when I did the upload, it had me all over the shop. It actually fling my, map over to bloody halfway up into Glen Iris, and it was definitely didn't go there. So the splits were really out of whack. So it added me as like a 3:24 first K, and it definitely wasn't a 3:24. I was pretty well locked in that 3:40 range, and definitely was, those 8 minute efforts, like that's enough to like start to tire, then you get the 2 minute jog to reset, and then the last 8 minutes, I gave it a little bit, within reason. I wasn't absolutely gone by the end of it, but felt, and I looked down and I was running like into the 3:30s and maybe a touch under, but it came up as my splits as, I don't know if they got those last, I don't know where my Strava's gone here, but it pretty much was saying I was running 3:28s or something in the last K. So maybe I'll take that. But I think I know from looking at my watch at the time, I was under that. So I was around that. So, but the important thing was I just felt strong in the middle. Like I actually felt really like I was running on top of the ground and form was good. Whereas I think in the past I've sort of fallen away a little bit, and then it's really been a struggle in the last 5 minutes. Whereas, I think it had me like K6 at 3:29 and then 3:33 for the 7K. Who knows if that's right bang on, but I reckon it's pretty close.
Mate, you've got to be
And
happy with that progression, especially coming like from where we were sitting last week to then move into this one, finishing in the 3:30s and feeling strong, like you're actually up on your toes and moving well, as opposed to, well, just throwing it at the wall and trying to just labor your way through it. Mate, that sounds bloody awesome.
And look, that was a solo session. So I've done a few with people and I felt like I've moved a bit better. And then when I've done it solo, I've kind of on some of my midweek runs, midweek sessions, I guess this being I'd had the day off. So I could kind of felt like I did feel like a Saturday sort of session. So I did feel pretty ready and into it. Whereas I think, post work, sometimes just fatigue and being solo, I just don't really, I haven't been able to really find that way to lock in. So knowing that, I'll jump in with some of the groups over the next couple of weeks again. Like when I was doing those 1K reps, we're running 3:29s on the track, in a 4 or 5 of us. So I know if I can do that solo in the 8 minuters, I'll be able to get back to a little bit of pace on the track with the help of a few other people around.
Yeah.
And then we Tuesday, yeah, Boxing Day, did a bit of a pickup run, bit of a progression, I guess. So the goal was just, and I started it later, and looking at the timing, I really, well, I was watching the cricket and I was waiting, you know, do another over, was on the roller, and then got out the door and the storms were coming, and I could see it as I warmed up, as I started jogging. I actually missed, didn't have the time on the bloody watch for the warm up. I did 10 minutes jog to where I started the pickup, and in that instance, I was hoping to run. Yeah, I thought I could go 350s, 340s, and then under 340s off the back, like just push it, but not absolutely bury myself at the end. And yeah, it sort of came out like planned. I'll just bring up what the numbers were, but again, doing it solo, but it felt like I was able to get up and going a lot quicker and easier. Like I didn't feel like it was like I sort of looked down and watched and go, okay, into the first couple of K, 356, 353. Then it was 44, and then I started to kind of get into my running into the 40s, and yeah, there's a couple of hill, like couple of little pinches in there, so I sort of changed, and then the last K's, you know, were 328, 336, so
Nice.
345 average for 30 minutes. And look, I was tired, to be honest. I was sort of tired off the back of Christmas Day and just all the festivities that comes with it. So I was out the door a lot later. So it wasn't the usual prep, but it was it was a surprise. It was actually surprisingly a pretty good one to get done. And I knew when the storm was coming, like I could see it, and I was 10 minutes to go, and I was just thinking, okay, I'm gonna really cop it. I did cop it in the last probably 5 minutes, just pelted down. And at that point, it's probably the easiest point for it to really come down. I think if it comes down at the start,
Yeah.
when you're that far gone, it's like, oh, I'll just get it done. So it's good signs because that's kind of a, it's the length, like the time of effort there, you know, to do 30 minutes at 3:45s. Like I think, or the 25 minutes at 3:41s the other week around Albert Park, it's like chalk and cheese when you're going around there on the flat road as opposed to a bike path.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mate, things are coming together. Like we're in a stage now where we're logging a couple of sessions a week, hitting that long run, body's feeling good. There's a bit of track work happening as well. I'm starting to get a sense there might be some racing around the corner.
Yeah, and like I think the gym is starting to slowly getting a bit of those benefits coming through. Like I'm still staying on it, the drills, the exercises, that's all definitely assisting because the workouts, I'm feeling better and I'm recovering off them. Yeah, I'm still sort like a bit sore on the runs, on the easy runs, but it's the conditioning is getting better. So I think I'm handling that more. So yeah, it's like I've just got to keep on it. Like, you know, keep the consistency. If I can keep hitting these sessions, then yeah, it's all heading in the right direction. And then I'll start locking in some races.
No, I like it, mate. Mate, things just sound really good. Starting the new year in style.
Yeah, I certainly didn't try and do. I'm certainly not trying to do any overtime sort of no crazy doubles or try and go and hit, you know, another 40, 50K more than I usually do at this time of the year. Like it wouldn't be that silly, but
Not doing a 40K long run on Sunday, just to finish
nah, I'm
the
not
year
gonna
off.
try and get the mileage up to the round number or put in a bloody template on Instagram or anything like that. I'm just gonna keep rolling.
What about if you're sitting on 3,440 Ks on December 31st? Would you go and do a 60K ultra or something like that just
Yeah,
to get the three and a
maybe.
half?
Yeah. I don't know what I'm sitting. I think we talked about it last week. I've no idea.
There's some crazy things happening out there at the moment.
There is. But yeah, I'll round out the year and it's just good to be like the progress for me has been to get back to 90-minute runs. So I've only done a couple, but I've got my Sunday run back to 90, which is kind of for me, that's a starting point of where I can find a bit more fitness when I'm hitting those 90 minutes at the end of a week. Two sessions is big progress. So it's taken good part of 3 or 4 months to get back to that. So just it's been a slowly chipping away, but they're pretty big things to be able to kind of tick off now, because I feel like it's that getting fit to train kind of cycle for me. And it's been now I'm sort of in the position where I can start to push the envelope a bit on some of the sessions. Average, I was just looking at those stats. So last 4 weeks sitting at 78 Ks average. And if you think about the fact that, I'm only just dipping into the 90s now. Now that becomes a standard, you start to get a little bit more mileage in either your sessions and some K easy runs. That should sit, in the next time we look at that, around 85 to maybe 90. And before we know it, we're back to 100 K weeks. And that's where I think for me I'll really be in a good position to get a bit more speed in the legs as well.
Oh, that's it. One of Brady's favorite sayings as a coach is you've got to do the training so that you can do the training. And you're at the stage now where you've done the training, so then you can launch into that next block of training, which is sort of more performance driven, whereas you've just come off that base building, I guess, training, which for you is kind of felt like from that initial calf injury, which was back in May. But you've just sort of built up steadily from there. But now you're in a spot where, hey, you're actually in really good shape to now get back into really where you want to be, which is awesome to see because you've worked bloody hard at it.
No, thanks, Chris. So 3,369 Ks. So yeah, that's not gonna be trying to run anywhere near the mileage to get to say 4,000 or 3,500 or something like that.
Don't have another 170 Ks left in the lap. You could do 170 Ks this week and then have the first 3 weeks of Jan off. How about
Yeah,
that? There's an
you could.
idea.
Yeah, could get in a moon boom for
Moonbird to
I might
a
be
good.
advocating that,
No,
mate.
no.
We do have a special guest that's joining us,
We
a rugby
do.
athlete that might be close to your neck of the woods, mate. So let's bring her in.
Let's do it. Tonight's special guest is Mel Hiscock. So Mel is coached by myself. She signed up with Run to PB back in October of last year, off the back of a half marathon at Melbourne that didn't go quite the way that she'd hoped. But since then, she's gone from strength to strength. So Mel's logged just over 2,500 kilometres in the last 14 months, and along the way, she's smashed two new PBs, 5K. She's beaten that a few times, and she's also gone and taken a few chunks out of a half marathon on time along the way. But Mel is one of those athletes for me who is very easy to coach. It doesn't matter what you tell her, she will listen. I might have to explain myself a couple of times, but that's on me because sometimes I'm a bit vague. But she does listen very intently and takes on all sorts of feedback, which is fantastic. She's also embraced running drills, which definitely puts her in my top favorite people to coach because some tell me they do them and I know they don't. But Mel does do them. So big gold star for you, Mel. But looking forward to talking a bit more about your running journey and the things that you've learned along the way. Welcome to the show, Mel.
Thanks, Chris. That's a very kind introduction.
That's all right. Well, you know where I live. So if I don't say nice things about you, I am concerned that you may shut off my water or something like that. So, no, I'll definitely be on my best behavior tonight. But how are you going?
Yeah, good. Oh, hi, Zach. How are you going?
Great to have you on, Mel. Yes, I know when Chris O mentioned that he managed to snag you as a guest. He was pretty excited, but a little bit nervous because I think you might have some dirt on him that you could pull out if although he does have the keys to the final surge, so you don't know if you want to do that.
I don't know about that. I did tell Chris that my memory is not the best, so yeah, there might be a lot of things that I forget, so he might be safe there. We'll see.
No, that's all right. It's a double-edged sword. So, but yeah, I am a bit of low-hanging fruit. But if you do want to hang a bit of shit on me, I mean, literally everyone else that's come on the podcast has. So you won't be the only one who's thrown a bit my way.
Hey,
Yeah.
Mel, before we get into it, like we always like to hear about how running came into your life, and you know, were you running as a kid, or were you a late starter? How did you start running?
Yeah, sure. Definitely a late starter there, Saka. I've always been active. I played netball in the GBL, so the league here in the Golden Valley region. So I played for TAT for a few years and then came across to SHEP where my brother's played pretty much all of his senior footy in his life member there. So I played a bit of twilight tennis later in life as well. So discovered that I could actually hit the ball a little bit, so enjoyed that. But I've always loved walking, gym, and particularly outdoor functional training, which I do at Aquamoves. And that was one of the non-negotiables when I signed up with Chris, that I didn't want to ever miss that. I've been doing that since probably 2011, and that's taken by another guy that Chris actually trains as well. So yeah, it's a favourite of mine to do that.
I believe with your running, mate, parkrun's a bit of a favourite place. It's been a happy place for you since around 2015, and a place that you've visited some 220 times as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The numbers would be much bigger if it wasn't for COVID and a few things along the way. But yeah, I did start, I think it was January, maybe 2015. A couple of workmates told me about it. I hadn't heard of it actually. So yeah, they got me down there and I've continued, whereas one of those workmates, Erin, has gone on to have three babies or children now. So she hasn't quite made it back. And another workmate, he kind of joins me for all the milestone events. He pretty much travels over to Echuca and does the park run there and is a run director over there quite a bit, Pete Kesson, but will join me back when I've hit a milestone and we run it together. But yeah, I really enjoy the park run spirit, I suppose. It's a really good community. You've got to meet a lot of people, and I guess that's where I kind of first heard about Chris, I guess, as well.
Yeah, I think you're sort of echoing a lot of our listeners, a lot of Run to BB athlete, and you know the Australian running community. Is that parkrun was a great start for people to get a taste of what it's like to run again, I guess, or you know get into some level of formal running, and then you've developed along the way, and you've obviously gone on to achieve some pretty amazing things that we're going to chat about a little bit later, but can you sort of narrow down what you really enjoy about running in itself?
What do I enjoy about it? I think I just like, you know, the ability that you can get to get out there. There's not a lot of effort involved apart from, you know, getting dressed and getting out the door. So I'm happy to run in the rain. I just don't like the wind. And we've had some pretty putrid sessions of late there. The warmer weather we've had, and I seem to get Chris gives me the hard sessions on those days, so that's been fun. But yeah, I think it's just, and I run, Chris will laugh about this, but I am a bit of a creature of habit. I tend to take the same paths, and yeah, I think you see something different every time. I guess it's the places that you can explore and go, and with running, with parkrun, I've done a number of park runs interstate, overseas. I was lucky enough to do Sweden park runs, so that was pretty incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. And the running in your lifestyle, has that come into your life, you know, joining park run and then getting into more running and that become a part of your life?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I've really missed a session. I think I finally got COVID late last year. And yeah, Chris cut me back then. But apart from that, yeah, it'll take a fair bit for me to miss a session. So I don't know, I just enjoy the whole process and signing up with Chris, the whole, you know, the Run 2PB format. I really enjoy it. Like, I can't wait to get the update on the app to see what I've got for the week ahead. And yeah, I just love the process. So I do really enjoy it.
Yeah. I want to have a chat a bit more about your running progression, mate. But before we do that, are there any tips for some runners out there who aren't necessarily fond of running in damp weather, particularly those who do need to wash their hair? Is there any tips that you might be able to give them around what you do when there's a bit of inclement weather around?
That's what was coming. Okay, so yeah, Chris probably, you know, groans every time I write a message when it's been raining. Look, it's more so the hot weather when you sweat. I've got long, thick hair. Which you probably can't see at the moment, and I tend to get to work early, so I'm up at sometimes 4:50 or 5 o'clock, to get going with the running, just so I can get back. And if I've either got to wash the hair, it's a mad rush to do that, wash, dry, straighten. It is a process that I don't think Chris quite appreciates. But there was one morning that I wasn't ready to wash it. It wasn't due. So I may have put a shower cap on and in that with a hoodie over the top. But thankfully, I didn't see Chris. I actually didn't see too many people that morning. It was still dark, but I did do that. It didn't really work, so I don't recommend it.
Maybe there's a future in like a line of, you know, some kind of product that you could launch that could help other runners with this sort of issue. Maybe a fashionable swimming running cap.
I know there's a lot of female athletes nodding their head right now going, yeah, know exactly what she's talking about. It is shit. So if anyone can come up with some assistance, absolutely, there's $1 million to be made right there.
I guess yeah, I could
on the Shark too. Tank, you reckon, Chris? Mate, we get the sharks. Offer a deal.
Yeah. Mel, your running progression. So back in 2015, and see there, your first steps along at Parkrun, heading around in sort of 31, 32 minutes. And we fast forward that 8 years, you know, into the future. And here you are running in the low 23s with goals to break through into the 22 and the 21 barrier. But how have you found your progression over time?
Yeah, I suppose it's been up and down at times. I had a really good spate there for a while, and then I had a couple of patches where I kind of didn't run. I did actually have a cordial epidural in my back, so like a cortisone injection. I'd always had a bit of a back problem that just wasn't healing, and I put up with it, I suppose, for too long. It was something I could manage. I played netball with it, but I had to be warm. If I stopped, it would kind of seize up. So in the end, we went through the process of having that cortisone injection, and I've never looked back since. I've never had an issue with my back, so I wish I had done that sooner. I put up with it for too long. So there were a few gaps there, and actually when I started doing parkrun, I was around the same kind of mark as Nora, but I'm probably thinking maybe now she was doing some of the sessions during parkrun, but she certainly took off and left me for dead. So yeah, along the way have improved, but I think at times I'm still up and down. But yeah, certainly trending in the right direction, I think. And as you said, yeah, hoping to get that sub 23 next year, I guess.
Yeah, your PB since with Chris, you guys are chipping away nicely. You obviously talked about your 5K, but the half marathon down at Melbourne Marathon this year, it was a big 3 minute PB there, down to 155 MCG, finishing like out on the ground. Take us back to October and how that day played out for you.
Yeah, Melbourne Marathon this year was probably the big one for me. Cut back to 12 months ago, it's the reason I signed up with Chris. I was pretty disappointed with my efforts 12 months earlier, and I happened to be talking to Rosie Smith, who also runs with the Shep Runners Club under Chris. And she said, why don't you talk to Chris Armstrong? And I had no idea that he kind of, you know, coached or was part of Run2B. I guess I'd seen him around but hadn't really thought about it, I guess. So, yeah, sent him an email, asked, you know, how collaborative he was. I am a little bit independent, a little bit stuck in my ways. So I didn't want to waste his time, that's for sure. But, yeah, we met up on the Saturday, I think, a few days later, and chatted. I went straight home and signed up after that. I think we were probably there for a couple hours from memory, and I just felt like I could have spoke to him all day. So I was really keen to get started, and had a lot of trust in him right from the word go. Didn't know a lot, still don't know a lot about running. I suppose I'm learning as I go. I guess I had, you know, most of the gear with no idea, and yeah, all the success I've had wouldn't have happened without Chris, that's for sure.
Oh, it's credit to the consistency and the application that you've shown, because that half marathon that you did run last year, that I guess you were disappointed with, we ran in 2:08 that day. And whilst, you know, we talk about a 3 minute PB, that PB was set earlier in the year. So you've progressed, you've gone from a 2:08 down to a 155 in the space of 12 months. So to take 13 minutes out of essentially the same place at the same time 12 months down the track. That must have been so satisfying for you, and I guess vindication of all for all the work that you've put in.
Yeah, it was definitely really cool. Melbourne is such a great course. Like, you're running on roads that, you know, are normally full of traffic. So it's a pretty incredible event. There's lots of atmosphere. There's, you know, people yelling out your name. And I got to finish on MCG, where Collingwood had just won the grand final. There might be a few people not like that comment, but yeah, I was pretty stoked to be on the ground. I didn't make the grand final, but it was pretty cool to finish on the G. So I had done it a couple. I think I'd done the 10K there 1 year. And then did I do two? Yeah, I did two half marathons before I signed up. I really, really enjoy that event. And yeah, I kind of come full circle, I suppose. What I signed up for is, yeah, I achieved that. So that was great. Or we achieved it. I like to say we because, yeah, there is no me without Chris helping.
Sounds like a great team. Hey, session wise, so getting ready for Melbourne, and I guess through that season, you hit your a great PB in park run. So you're doing a mix of 5K, 10K into the half marathon build. Some sessions that were popping up on Final Surge that for you became ones that were maybe at the start a little bit intimidating that have now become favourite sessions. Is there anything that you look at now and you really enjoy doing, or yeah, maybe touch on
I can't remember yesterday. I think I always look at them and sometimes go, oh my god, what is he giving me? I can't do that. But definitely a favorite at the moment is was it last Saturday, the 12x400s. Loved that one. I think I had a 6x1k couple of weeks before that, so I really enjoyed that one. I think sometimes when I look at the fartlek ones, the 4-3-2-1s, I'm like, ugh. They seem a bit daunting online. But yeah, no, I can't say I don't think I've really, no, I don't, haven't hated this session. I might have disliked it for a portion, and I've been cursing Chris's name and thinking if I see him run past, I'm going to. But no, I don't know.
Botan Hills, are you become, what's your relationship like with the Botan?
I haven't actually been out there. I used to go out there because I did the Great Ocean Road a couple of times before I signed up with Chris. I haven't done under Chris, but no, he hasn't sent me out there, and I'm not real keen with the snakes out there.
No. Mel touched on it before. She's a creature of habit. And she felt, I think, heaps good runners had a post just around the time the Spotify Wrapped was all being released there at the start of December. And she felt she was being personally attacked because there was a post there around, hey, I've done 252 loops here around this same run all throughout the year. That was Mel down to a T. She loves her Kyla Lakes loop that she has. It was a little 2.5K circuit, and she goes around and around and around. And that's her loop for most of the week. Saturdays she'll get down the park run, and then Sundays she does venture a little bit outside of the 3631 postcode into Shepparton, which can be a dangerous place in itself. But that was about the extent of it. And by venturing out, all I'm talking about is running from that loop that she's done in Kyala to the loop around the lake where she does park run. And so not exactly broadening the horizons as such. There is the fear of snakes out at the Botan, but yes, that is somewhere that we would like to, I guess, expand the horizons to in 2024, all things going well.
Thanks for bringing that up, Saka.
Yeah, only one of the bus there.
The Kyle Lakes loop, though, is good. I don't know. There's something I do like about it, and there's something different to see every run, I think. The other week, Chris told me there was an emu on the loose. Well, that's what I thought he said. So yeah. I'm running and I'm yelling back and going, where is it? And in my mind, I'm going, did they attack? I can't even remember. you know, we've had road kangaroos out here because the river's just kind of, you know, behind us. And I'm looking for this emu. Didn't see it, so I survived that morning. And I think it was the next day Chris and Anna were doing a session, and Chris was still flying around, and Anna was there having a chat, and you know, she was feeling a bit sorry for Chris. I'm like, no way, he gives us these sessions at the top of the top. So good, all the best to him. But we started talking about this emu, and she goes, I didn't think that you'd heard right. It's actually a letterbox. Someone has decorated it for Christmas. So this emu was stationary. It was never going to attack. But yeah, lakes.
There is some interesting things though that you do see around Kyle Lake. So I guess I get on here most weeks and talk it up. Like we get run off the road and we see all sorts of dodgy behaviour. But I believe you saw a rather motionless person in a car not that long ago.
I did, yeah. So that was the one time, or the first time, I'd ventured out of the estate and come across a car that, yeah, there's an intersection where they'd come around the corner and they're still partly parked on the road, so it wasn't a great spot to be. So as I got closer, I realised there was someone in the car. So I don't know if they'd kind of fallen asleep, whether they'd had, a turn, or whether they were, just having a sleep in there, sleeping rough. I wasn't quite sure, but I also wasn't quite game to tap on the window. I think the sun was still coming up, so I just kind of called it in and kept running. So I felt a little bit bad, but yeah, they had colour in their face, so I think that was a good thing. Yeah, but the vehicle was later gone. So yeah, there have been some interesting things I see. The guy, sorry, that delivers the papers, him and I are mates now, so I was dodging him initially, but yeah, he gives me a wave and he waits for me to pass as he's looping in and out of court. So yeah.
Good understanding to have with the paper truck. Hey, you've been with Chris for a little while now, and you've obviously we talked about the training sessions, but overall, some of the lessons you've learned from Chris in a running sense, and what have you been able to apply with your own running?
There's so much everything pretty much about running, I guess. There was little bits and pieces that I had picked up, whether that's through scrolling through Instagram, and next minute you're 5 pages deep and you should be asleep, ready to get up the next day. Yeah, little things that you picked up along the way. When I did the some of the running events before I signed up with Chris, I kind of mixed programs together that you could get online. Clearly I wasn't getting that right, but yeah, I tried. But definitely, I've been lucky. I'm lucky that, yeah, my coach is, just around the corner type of thing. So I do see him and Anna running quite a bit. And I've been fortunate enough. Chris was actually down at Parkrun when I was having a crack at the 5K. And then the next week he actually paced me, but couldn't quite get it done. But yeah, after both those runs, he walked, the 2K loop with me and chatted to me the whole way, so much advice. The only problem is I don't retain it. I listen. I just don't retain. So I was actually spewing that I couldn't record it because there was, yeah, lots of valuable information in there, obviously. But just, lots of things like, the easy runs are to be easy. And I think there's only been a couple of times where the comments have said, oh, those were quick Ks for an easy run. So I haven't got in too much trouble there, but basically just to trust the process and be conservative. I think that's what I need to probably work on. Sometimes I go out a little bit hard at the start. Nutrition, he's even helped me with that. He encourages me to eat pasta for 2 nights before an event, which I never really did. Basically just follow his instructions and before an event, I will read those comments on that page about 10 times before I go to sleep. But yeah, I've got complete trust in him. So yeah.
Yeah, I
One of
know we're
the.
chatting off. Sorry, I was just going to pump your tires up more,
Yeah.
Chris, because I didn't
Okay.
want to mention this because it was some, a conversation we had off air was that you were talking about how you, I mean, Mel, you ask really good questions to Chris about your training and about you're really open to train, like trying the new sessions and different concepts. And I think you're both working in tandem there that it really helps that you've got two open lines of communication that Chris is keen to obviously take the time and really be thorough with the training concepts, and you're taking them on board, but also asking good questions, which is from a coaching standpoint, it really helps the coach that you're
Yeah.
actually really invested in asking those questions. So yeah, I thought that was worth bringing up.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a lot of things are new to me, I suppose, like all the technical stuff. Like I haven't been involved in running like, a lot of you guys have. So yeah, I definitely want to ask questions because I'd rather get it right than mess something up. So yeah, no, I guess I'm pretty open. I'm happy to share a lot and communicate. back with Chris, yeah, to get it right.
One thing, and it sort of builds a bit further on what Zach was saying, but I'm really keen to get your thoughts on drills and strides. So probably when we spoke about those initially, when we first caught up, sort of gave me a bit of a quizzical look as to what they were, and I'll just reassure you, like, no, that's fine. It's actually great that you don't know, because that means we've got something new that we can do. But how have you found doing drills and strides to allow you to do faster running? Because obviously the pace that you run your strides at is significantly quicker than you do your 400 reps at, or your K reps, or your fartleks and that sort of thing. But yeah, how much more confident do you feel running faster now, and how much more natural does it feel given that you do those consistently?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I really enjoy the drills. Probably at times, particularly in the mornings, I probably need to allow a little bit more time for them. I know when I had a lot of time, I think there was one particular park run that I spent nearly 10 minutes doing because I had so much time and I actually got a really good result from that. So I think that they are really beneficial. So that's been a great, great inclusion. And yeah, I wasn't quite sure what you meant when you sent them through. So I think you sent me a YouTube clip, which was great. That was really, really helpful. And I think I recall asking you about the strides, like what sort of effort, what sort of, you know, pace should you be going for that? So you helped me there with that. I'm just glad that, yeah, I don't have to do stretching. I'm not good at stretching at all, but I don't think you should stretch cold muscles. So I much prefer the drills over stretching.
That's okay. I'm reluctant to do stretching, and I used to pay to go to yoga. So, yeah, that probably gives you an idea of my thoughts on stretching, how much I enjoy it. But
the old school 70s sort of stretching went out in the 70s.
Yeah.
Realised that you just don't just, yeah, dynamic. Yeah. Being warming the muscles up with other mobility rather than just some static stretching is the way to go forward.
It's got a habit though now to do that stretching and then to have a warm up. I think there was one I asked Chris, he'd given me a park run that was to be easy, and I'm like, did you mean to put a warm up in there? It just didn't feel right not to do it. But yeah, it was correct because I wasn't supposed to be going hard. But yeah, it feels unnatural now not to do that sort of warm up and drills for sure.
And just a shout out to Andy Buchanan for that drills video. Yeah. I think I've shown that to nearly every single one of my athletes. And Andy does make it look like it's dancing, which is great because he makes it look really easy. And it's not until you give them a try where you realize, like, oh shit, this is actually tricky. So, yeah, but
I need to get Andy to do another version two. I know he's got a few more in the repertoire. I know he's obviously coming back from a little injury, but he's back rolling. I was chatting to him today, and he's so I reckon he'll be keen to do that.
One of our most viewed videos on YouTube.
It is,
must be said, on the Runs PB channel.
So
I do like looking on Instagram. They often have the Ethiopian running as a group, and they are amazing.
So yeah. That is next level. I don't think Andy's can get to that level. Recruit a few more Bendigo bats to do some kind of in sync dance troupe along the track. But
that's what we're building up to, Mel. Just little skips and A skips and B skips, and soon we'll get into a chorus line towards the end of 2024.
Maybe you could do a Shepherd and little video drills, musical video for us.
Something we can work on. Some are better at their drills than others. I think I'll leave it at that. I don't want to name names. There are some who are really good, and there are some who would recognize that they need to do them a bit more often.
Yeah.
But Mel's one of my A students.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've ever had an A. So.
Mel, you ready to take on the quick questions?
Oh, goodness. Let's go.
Quick, but they're medium speed.
Yeah, tempo questions.
Tempo.
Okay, sure.
I'll start you off, mate. So a nice, easy one to start off. Tell us about your watch. What sort of watch have you got when you run?
Garmin. I've always had Garmin. So probably due for an upgrade, but I can't decide what I want. But at the moment, it's a Vivo Active 3.
Nice.
Very nice. No, it's okay. It's still unanimous. And I noticed, Zaka, breaking news, Brady's gone back to a Garmin as well.
He has. He has been lucky enough to be sporting one of the new LED. Well, I think it's a different term that they use. I'm not going to attempt to say it because they got in trouble for the way they pronounce it. But it is a very bright screen. It's the new Garmin 965, I believe. And he's moved back to it, although he's rocking the Coros armband wrist heart rate monitor. But yeah, he's back on the Garmin train. But you know what Brady's like. He's easily persuaded when there's a deal put on the table for him. back to the quick questions. iPhone or Android as your
iPhone,
mobile?
iPhone, definitely, yeah.
Definitely, okay. You got to find one, Chriso.
Two iPhones, actually, one for work and,
yeah,
one person.
Double.
No, good stuff. Hey, thoughts on runners who don't say hi as you run past them?
Totally setting me off here. Yeah, and no, I don't appreciate it.
Any
it's
instances?
Not hard to say hi.
Any instances where that's happened around Kyle or Lakes Loop at all?
Yeah, it happens on occasion, actually. Yeah, seen that person this week. Was it this week? Yeah, and I'm very close, but still not can't crack them. So we'll keep trying, we'll keep persevering.
I believe it's a local real estate agent who does his easy runs in his Alpha Fly Zaka and
back. Yeah, run
into detail there. I wasn't going to.
Yeah. No, I won't name names because we're not quite 100% sure who the name is, but
allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly there's eye contact. And there is never ever a murmur of a hello or a wave or even an acknowledgement, which is a bit disappointing. Not mad, just disappointed.
It is disappointing that it's rude. It's not hard to say hi, but
yeah.
We do hear him coming though, don't we?
Yes, you do.
We've got a young fellow that runs past us on our Monday, Wednesday runs along the Yarra River in the group that we run with, and he lives. We've been able to crack him a couple of times, but it's really hard. And he's a good mover. Like we actually want to like somehow like get a conversation, like because he's running the other way and he's always in a hurry. Like he's actually moving pretty well, and we've gone with like we've had four people with this big wave, like. And we're starting 100 meters out, and then sort of the head goes down, and yeah, it's a challenge. So maybe Chriso and Mel might need to get you to come down to join the pack to try and crack this one as well.
2024 challenge.
Okay. Here's one to take it back just a little bit, not maybe a couple of years. One piece of advice for 18-year-old Mel.
A couple of years, Saka. That's like 24 years without giving numbers away. Oh my goodness. These are the questions that when you do leadership courses at work, I struggle. But I think definitely I wish I had got into this earlier. The running and the health and wellbeing journey. What I probably didn't touch on at the start was I was like 17 kilos heavier. And yeah, I dropped that and then my running got better. People thought it was my running that took the weight off. Then it was actually, I got to a point where I was doing all this gym work, gym activity, and not being happy, I suppose, with where I was at. So it was actually my sister-in-law who works at Apple News, and I said to her, I'm, sick of getting nowhere. And she actually told me about a guy by the name of Michael Wagden. He worked at Acklemoose and he's actually Chris Pete Brazell's son-in-law. I met up with him and he basically changed my life, helped me with the nutrition side of things. And yeah, I've managed to drop 16, 17 kilos and have actually maintained it. So it seems like a big number, but it kind of was when you look back on some of the parkrun photos. I was a little bit chubby. But yeah, certainly it helped with my running, like to be, yeah. That much lighter and just that whole health and well-being. I wish I had been a lot more into it, many years ago. I suppose I was always been active, but now I 42 years of age, I'm fitter than I've ever been. So, yeah.
Yeah. So
that's
really
probably why I'm talking about it. There's probably a lot more things I need to do, but I can't go into detail here.
Yeah. No, look. And just, yeah, hearing the way you talk about, yeah, the way you've taken that step and what you've achieved and sort of the way it can change your lifestyle and your life and the way you go about, you know, and the social connections you've been able to get from that as well, no doubt.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, it's been a great, great move. Chriso, you got the next one?
Yeah, favourite gel?
Oh, I am very basic. I think I've told you before and you didn't really react with Endura, I think it is, from Chemist Warehouse. So yeah. I'm actually kicking myself. I didn't veer right and grab one of the, I think Melbourne Marathon had the Mortons in there.
Yeah, yes. Of course, yeah.
So, yeah, I probably should have grabbed one of them to
load it up.
Yeah, the vanilla Endura is that one. So maybe I'll...
Endura's a good gel. I don't mind Endura's. I used to use them a bit. They're got some good flavours. They're pretty tasty.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, they go down pretty easy. So, yeah, that's a good
one. For a gel from a chemist, that's actually pretty good. I think, and Mel, you might not have necessarily noticed these, but it's almost like everyone's starter level gel. Like you sort of, hey, I'm a beginner runner. Where's my startup pack? It was a winner's gel from Cadell Evans. Like they were in Woolies and Coles, and that was just kind of everyone's starter gel. So the fact that you sort of established a bit of a baseline with an Endura gel, like that's pretty good. That, you know, that is very acceptable. But yes, you would be kicking yourself when you could have grabbed a handful of Morton around Melbourne, especially at $6 a gel. But that's okay.
There was a little bit of chaos at that point in Albert Park where the gels were. So yeah, I just kept going. But yeah, thought about that later. So a friend did actually she wanted to swap. She didn't like, I think it was, well, I don't know if I should name it, but the SIS ones, I think they're at Great Ocean
SIS.
Road.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, SIS. And I tried it, but yeah, I couldn't quite. It wasn't for me. So.
Okay. Any race in the world you could do, and which one? Oh, yeah. Of any race in the world that you could do, which one would it be?
Yeah. I am mad for New York. I got to go there in 2015. But that's a marathon, which I don't think I ever want to do because that is a really long way. But I think it'd be pretty cool to run in New York, yeah, just purely because I love New York. But I did do the Outback Marathon traveling fit a couple of years ago, and yeah, love that. Love getting to see Uluru, and yeah, it was pretty special. But I know they have one called "Is the Big Four or the Big Five" in South Africa. So that would be pretty amazing, I think. To do that one.
Yeah. I'm interested in this one, mate.
I've been lucky enough to
So this next one. Now, most of your runs are alone because you start pretty early in the morning. Obviously, with the work that you do need to start pretty early. But then in the evenings, you also go and do outdoor fitness group training on a Tuesday and a Thursday. Yeah. If you had a choice, do you prefer to run alone, or do you prefer the group aspect of being around people to do your group training in the evening?
Running alone, yeah, I don't mind. Sometimes it'd be nice to have company, but I'm a bit too slow to run with anyone. And I think you kind of dictate. I'm pretty independent, so I go when I want to go. I'm not waiting on anyone else or vice versa. But I do love the outdoor functional group. I've been doing it, I think, since like 2011 on a Tuesday and Thursday night. I've rarely missed a session, and it's just a fantastic group led by Scotty, who Chris, you also coach. Yeah, it's a really great group. There's some really, you know, fit and encouraging people in it, and yeah, it's just something I love and I hate to miss. The only thing is now on a Thursday night, sometimes I forget that Chris is out and about. And yeah, he often tells me to back it off on a Thursday, particularly. He still lets me do it before an event, but I'm to back it off. And there's been a couple of times I've got sprung and thought that he's lurking around somewhere there.
I've seen some questionable behaviour at times, and had some concerns. But Mel hasn't reported any injuries as yet, which has been good. So whether she hides them, but I don't think she does. But yeah, just sometimes just offer some bits of advice that as feedback some Thursdays if I'm around the like runners club. But probably
mate, I was born in the '80s. I'm pretty sound.
That second one for me, the follow-up question to that one. Do you enjoy burpees?
I do mostly, I think. Where's this going?
It's okay to say no. I think it's brave to say no. But no, I'm just interested because I hate them. I'm not a fan of burpees, and I just don't like them. I don't see how they're functional. I get how they could be fun, but they're just a not for me. I think I'm allergic to them.
Fair enough. No, I don't mind them. It depends where about with the session though. Sometimes we finish with them. And yeah, that can be a bit tough. But yeah, I don't mind them too much. But I do like when you tell me not to do them on a Thursday before an event. That's pretty cool.
If you need to, I can put in final surge not to do burpees every Thursday.
You might just need to tell Scotty.
We'll see. Leave that with me.
Yeah, burpees, big no for me. not a big fan of them. Not really sure. Well, I mean, I know roughly why people do them, but I mean, it is the art back in the army or something, wasn't it? Invented back in the day. So it is. Yeah, it's still look at it and go, what's the point? Why are we doing this? Sure, there's something else we could be doing, but it is a staple in the functional training, no doubt. So I'm sure runners, I'm sure their trainers look at some of the things that runners do and why are we doing that? So
Hey, in fairness, and I do want to add, it's handy having or coaching Scotty because he has developed a bit of a love for drills and strides as well. And there are elements of that which he's incorporated into some of his training that he passes on to other people now too, which is really cool. So that's awesome.
Go.
Yeah,
it didn't take that long, did it?
No, he's done well.
Hey, moving on to your coach's favorite topic, favorite running kit. That have you got? Are you a matching kit person? Have you got your bright colors, or what's the go to with your favorite running kit?
Yeah, I have a real mix. I do love the brights, but I tricked Chris at Melbourne. I went all grey. It was a light kind of grey outfit to match the new Vaporflies that I'd gotten. They were all white and kind of grey ones. So I went for the grey look, which confused him a bit. Apart from that, yeah, I do like the brights. Love the leggings with the foam pockets, all the pockets just in general. So yeah, tend to like to match, and for an event I tend to like a newish outfit. So yeah.
You're spending a bit of time working out the setup pre-race and then getting the tick off from the coach.
He wouldn't approve of my socks, that's for sure.
No, that's I think like for an overall kit, like Mel's a consistent 8 or a 9. Like it's all there's always a theme to what she's rolling with. So it has some variant. She's got a few pairs of Vaporflies and always seems to match those up pretty well. So definitely doing a good job there.
There are 3 Vaporflies in the collection now and one are yet to make their debut. So yeah, I'm waiting for that moment.
Very nice. Onto the shoes. So talking, obviously there you've got your Vaporfly collection, but or Alphas, Vapors, Easy Days and race shoes. What are you going with there?
Yeah, well, again, a bit like the Enduro, back to basics. I've always kind of wore Kayados. I'm not sure how that sounds. Netball. I didn't like the netball shoes. I just didn't. I'm pretty fussy with how they look. So I wore runners and maybe they were Kayados because that kind of, I think I counted 10 pairs in my room before when I was having a look. 3 Vaporflies, which I've only just moved to wearing them in half marathon, which was, I think, Sheffield Melbourne, Noosa this year, still in the Kayanos. And for the park run efforts, I've popped them on and they actually work. I think I pulled off, you know, two PBs in the Vapors and up until the last one. So, but I've just actually got a pair of Nova Blast to do my, and I love them. Like, I absolutely swear by them. They feel amazing. But yeah, I was pretty keen to get another pair of those. Yeah, I've only worn them a few times, but I think they did a 16K. The last couple of Sundays, and I felt like I hadn't done that. I could have went again. I just couldn't believe how good they felt.
Yeah, the Nova Blast. I ran with Sam Hopper, who was down doing some of them. He works for ASICS. He was doing a lot of run club tests for the Super Blast and the Nova Blast. He was saying that the demand for Nova Blast is just gone through the roof. And I had an athlete today message me, Jonathan, who did a run in the Nova Blast, and we just couldn't believe how good they felt. So there's a lot of wraps for both the Super and the Nova Blast from the ASICS range at the moment.
To be said, I was praising Mel's fitness after last Sunday's long run, and she's trying to give credit to the shoes. So, no, she's running very well at the moment. It's not. Don't the shoes, obviously.
Yeah, it's not the shoes.
No, it's not the shoes. They just feel good, okay?
really good. I'm just done.
No, you, maybe, I know it's late for Santa, but maybe Santa can bring you a New Year's present of another pair of Nova Blasts in a different colour.
Yes, definitely. We'll have a look at that. I was hoping to get the 90 million last night, but that didn't happen, so I could have had a pair for every day for the rest of my life.
I'm going to say, if you won 90 million, there is absolutely no chance you would have come on this podcast tonight. There is not a chance in hell. You would have driven around to tell me, I reckon. You're not. I don't need to do that. But hey.
Here's something for you.
One I'm interested in is, do you follow, and obviously you do your own running, but do you follow much of the athletics on the world stage at all?
Not really. I can't say I do. Like, obviously I see stuff on Instagram, and I know when I was in Uluru, when was that, last year or the year before, we'd finished the run and we were at one of those the pubs there that are in that the Ayers Rock Uluru resort there. And Jeff Stenson was running in the Commonwealth Games, so we got to watch that finish, and that was pretty amazing. All the people that had run that day, standing around watching Jeff finish, and, you know, massive big smile. So that was a pretty cool moment. So yeah, keen to watch her. Obviously, I see a bit of Jen Bosen on Instagram, and I mean, for her to overcome what she did, I think that's pretty impressive. But yeah, I can't say I really do, Chris, but yeah, know the obvious ones, I guess, and take an interest in them when I've got time. But on a local front, impressive to me on two different age scales, obviously, is you know, Phil and Kazadi. Like, yeah, I think they're pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, so it's like, just to elaborate on that, Phil, who gets a mention fairly regularly on the podcast, is 81 years young. And Phil was out running a double yesterday, Zach. So he went and
did, doubled.
He doubled. So he went and did about 6 or 7K Tuesday morning, and then he went out and did 4. Mind you, this, I hadn't planned this in his program, but he then went out Tuesday evening when we normally do runners club set training, and he went out and did 4 by a K off 2 minutes standing recovery with a warm up and cool down with a group of his Sunday long run friends. So
the Muffin Breakers.
Yes, with the Muffin Breakers out there rolling 4 by K too, because he was going to run Christmas Day at Parkrun until it got cancelled. But then no dice, didn't happen. So he compensated and shifted that to Tuesday. So Tuesday morning, easy into the session in the evening for Phil. Mm. And which,
yeah, overtime for Phil.
A bit of overtime, 15K a day, which is, yeah, quite impressive. But then Kazadi, who Mel just mentioned. So Zadi is 14, and he's a bigger kid for his age, but he's a very talented athlete. He has been a regular state finalist in the 1500 and 3K over the last couple of years, and went down and ran in the Milers Club races, would have been last week, just before Christmas, and ran 4:12. to 1500 14 years of age. So in saying that, when I say he's big for his age, Zadi would be 5'11 to 6 foot tall, but very smooth. So he doesn't make a lot of noise when he runs. And he just, you know, those runners, they just always look like they run within themselves and they look so relaxed. So he's got a lot of development in front of him. But yeah, 4'12 for 1500 at 14 years of age. I think he's set for some bigger things later on as he gets a bit older.
Get on that stock, cheap, yeah, on that stock now, mate.
Buy now. Absolutely, buy now. And but it's still, you can still buy stock in film. So don't you worry about that. It's not just our younger athletes. You can certainly buy some stock in our, older ones as well. But no, Mel's quite right. There's a lot of good examples in our area of, and this is what I like about running, is that irrespective of age or ability, that you are more than capable of working hard and getting the best out of yourself. And without wanting to pump Mel's tires up too much, she's a classic example of that, as someone who does all the one percenters, looks after herself. You know, as I mentioned earlier when we introduced her, she's run just over 2,500 Ks in the last 14 months, and you can't do that without being consistent. And, you know, that's what we talk about, trying to get the best out of yourself. It's not having one lights out session and then going missing for 4 weeks, or being really good for 3 weeks and then having, you know, 2 weeks off, or being sick all the time because you don't treat your recovery seriously. You know, it's doing all the little things so that the sum of the parts adds up to some significant progress. And Mel's done that.
Definitely. Just the last fun one to finish up. We always put this one at the end of the question, at the end of the quick questions. If you had to eat, if you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh God, this one is so hard. So I am addicted to prawns. I love prawns. I love peanut butter and I love ice cream, but I don't think I could probably, eat ice cream for the rest of my life.
I think we're going to combine all three of them and make some kind of...
Could I have ice cream if it was like, say, from Augustus, and I could have all the different flavors on different days, or has it got to be the same?
No, look, I would allow that. Having been into the Augustus gelatery, it is incredible. Zachary, I'm not sure if you're familiar with these guys, but you know, we're talking the best part of 50 different flavors. You've got your gelato, you've got your sorbets, you've got your standard ice creams. There's everything and anything that you can think of. Typically, it's only ever a couple of 14-year-old kids that work behind the counter, but they do a good job, and they're usually fairly generous with their serving sizes as well.
Are you going the cone or the tub, Chriso?
I'm always the tub, because if I don't eat it in time, the tub tends to catch the drips a bit better.
Yeah, strategic.
Whereas I feel a bit... Yeah, and these kids almost see it as a challenge to how much ice cream can you physically put into a small round container. I think it's amazing. So I'm not sure who's responsible for the portion control at Augustus, but more power to those kids. I can't speak highly enough of them.
Sounds like a future sponsor.
But if I had to go on pasta, I am a big fan of the seafood linguine dish that Will Whippery make here. So one of our local restaurants. And I'm not sure, Chris, if you've been to Sam, so the Chef Art Museum, and it's right near where Park Run starts, like that they do bowls, and they do a challah chicken bowl, challah hula, I think it's called chicken bowl, and it's pretty good.
Oh, okay.
That's all right. Is there anything that you make yourself that's a bit of a go-to meal?
Oh, I love making ice cream. I've just made a heap of Christmas treats, so I do love making stuff. But go-to, I like to treat myself after an event with a chalk self-sourcing pudding. Extra fudge sauce, so that's my treat after an event.
Is this one you're making, or we got a go-to like that we pick up at the supermarket, or
Oh, no, I make it. Just, yeah, most of the people pretty basic, but yeah, it's a good one. But I generally have to eat for the whole week to finish it. So
No, I like that. That's good.
it did result in a PB the last time though, so it kind of affected me too much. Must have been all the sugar.
I think there needs to be more self-sourcing putting on the radar for next year.
Get
It's a good
Morton's get
one.
on the stuff.
Yeah. Self-sourcing putting, the secret gel. Yeah.
Yeah, that could be a
Secret
go.
gel flavor. Thank you heaps for jumping on, Melissa. It's been it's been awesome to hear about your running journey, and we really appreciate you taking the time to walk us through your story. And no doubt, just listening to you and Chris chat and the relationship you guys have as a team, you've got many more goals ahead to achieve in 2024.
Yeah, hopefully there's a few that I can tick off next year. So, thanks for having me, guys. It's been fun.
Thanks, Mel.
Thanks, Mel. Always fun to have one of your athletes on, Chriso.
Yeah, nah, Mel's
Dodged a
been
bullet, couple of bullets there. You could have been in the firing line.
very kind, and will be duly noted when I update her final surge as well. So we can put the Michigan away for another week. Won't be seeing that anytime soon. But no, Mel's got a great story to tell. And I think just another, really humble person who started from, modest beginnings and has built up over time. And yeah, it's just been really cool seeing her progress.
Yeah, for sure. Hey mate, we gonna wrap it up, but before we get there, because not a lot of round the grounds happening, I guess, with Christmas and the break. So, but there was something that came across our desk from our friends over at the Canadian Running News, and it's quite an interesting concept. One of the Chinese companies has come up with to. For us, I mean, we're all about people getting into the sport of running, and a Chinese paper company, as reported in the Canadian Running News, on the Canadian Running News website, has revealed an innovative approach to enhancing employee well-being by tying bonuses to physical activity levels. So the company is intending to reward employees based on hitting 100K months of running, hiking, or walking. And if you do so, you get an annual bonus equivalent to 130% of your monthly salary. And then if you hit 50Ks per month, you'll get a bonus equivalent to 1 month's salary. So, mate, there's about 100 staff at the Guangdong Dongpo Paper Co. And they'll have their physical activity tracked through an app. And there's a way to get a bonus, mate, just getting out and running. But a bit of controversy that social media, as people seem to get annoyed about pretty much anything and everything. A few people have had a whack on Weibo, which is the Chinese social media platform, and one user's had a crack and said, "Geez, 100Ks a month, that's like 3,000 meters a day." Like, does this require employees to become long distance runners? Another concerned, someone else that was concerned about the company's future said they better pay attention to the future direction of this company, as I think it might go bankrupt in the next 5 years. So,
Mate, if everyone's out there logging 100 plus Ks a month, that's a fairly significant bonus.
I would, yeah, I don't know about it's going to make them go bankrupt, that their employees are out a bit fitter, healthier, potentially lower absenteeism, probably more motivated, happier. You would think productivity might increase. It would prevent them from going bankrupt. I would have thought, Chriso.
Well, I would have thought so. Like when I first heard about this, it sort of gave me flashbacks to another paper company. So fans of The Office, Dunder
Yes.
Mifflin, Steve Carell, and the
Yeah.
crew. One of the, probably my most favorite episode of The Office ever is a fun run episode.
Yes.
Anyone that hasn't seen it, I strongly recommend. Just eating a bit of fettuccine carb before he goes out there.
Yeah.
Awareness against rabies Yeah. Oh, it's got a ridiculous name, but
yeah,
I won't spoil it. I can't remember it word for word, but please do yourself a favor, go watch that. It's hilarious. But yes, from Dunder Mifflin across to Guangdong Dongbo, Paper Co. I can't believe it's a real name. Oh, Lordy. But I like the thought behind it. I think it's great. I think where I work should embrace this because I don't get a bonus. And if all it took was to me to upload my Strava to work for a bonus of that magnitude, you best believe that I'm tagging work and I'm putting them in every single run because that's a lot of money. Look, I'm all for exercise. I think it's valuable for mental health. And look, even if I'm God, even if they're out there just doing, where is it, 25Ks a month, they still get some sort of bonus.
Yeah, and the company chairman, Linny Boy, Lin Ziyong, dedicated fitness enthusiast who's he's conquered Mount Everest before, so he's all about it, and he said he'll throw in pair of shoes if you hit six consecutive months of 50 Ks.
I
So
imagine that. Free pair of alphas for knocking
I
over 50Ks a month for 6 months.
might
Sign me
be
up.
might be
Oh.
those dodgy Chinese brands that they're bringing around. They won a few of the I think did Bikili signed with the Chinese brand, I reckon he did.
Oh.
Anyway, maybe they have
Mate,
some new carbon plate shoes over there.
if Kenny B pops up the Tokyo Marathon or Osaka or something like that, and on the back of his new singlet is Guangdong Dongpo Paper Co. Yeah, don't be surprised. It could be this next level. Like, yeah, Lin Ziyong, just dedicated fitness enthusiast. I just think this man knows where it's at, and there should be more bosses like this. He's setting a good example for other company chair people. I think this is something that could be looked at locally, particularly as I've got a vested interest in earning more money for doing
And I
exactly the same thing I'm doing now.
might have to jump on seek.china.co and see if there's any jobs going, mate. Although someone else who should jump on and see if there's any vacancies could be Uncle Chen.
Uncle Chen,
He could but
oh,
he
the
could go out
great
for a
man.
smoko and go for a run and be cleaning up the company bonus structure.
Oh, the irony. He's a man who chain smokes his way through a marathon, and he's being rewarded with a health incentive to run more. We're going to pay him more to run more so that he can buy more smokes while he goes out and competes. I mean, what exactly are we enabling here for Uncle Chen? But look, imagine Uncle Chen being the spokesperson for this company.
Yeah, I think he's and those listeners that aren't across Uncle Chen who probably living under a rock for the last few years, but yeah, it was a year in November to the date where he went viral, where he the 50-year-old marathoner went out and rolled a 3:28 marathon whilst chain smoking and absolutely blew up the socials. Finished 574 out of 1500 runners and lit up the social media.
He
Swept
did.
the field
What did he
and
said?
so he's been missing that China Ca Canadian Running News have been trying to get a hold of him for an exclusive interview, but he's gone into lockdown.
Ever since they've changed the rules of distance running in China that you're no longer allowed to smoke during events, he has gone missing. We talk about some of the greatest sportsmen of our time. Michael Jordan had a big influence on NBA basketball in the 80s and 90s, and a lot of the rules were changed because of how dominant he was. Don Bradman, same thing for cricket, in the 1920s and 30s and 40s. And, here's a more modern example of Uncle Chen and marathon running. Just a man ahead of his time, ahead of the game. Just they've had to change the rule book, and as a consequence, he's basically been rubbed out of the sport that he once dominated.
He has taken a role, though. I've got some news that's come through that he did take a role as a as a as part of a race director role, actually, for a provincial marathon in his hometown in Talzel City. So looks like he's still involved in the sport, and maybe he's sort of looking at a breakaway marathon series without these stringent rules in place. That could be the objective of getting into the race, being a race owner or director, I should say, is the right word.
Understandable, and whether or not he's, you know, potentially trying to kick the habit as well and come back bigger, fitter, and stronger. To smoke free running. I mean, yeah, I would love to know if Canadian Running Magazine do get an exclusive. That's got to go behind a paywall, doesn't it? Surely.
Yeah.
You know, you've got that sort of explosive content that would just, you know, literally light the internet on fire. You can't be giving that out for free.
Yeah, we would be. Yeah. Well, Chris, as we have always said on this show, once it gets past about 9 o'clock, things start to unravel, and it's 9:30 now, and it's definitely gone down that
way. I know Matty Morgan quite often, when he downloads the episode, will fast forward to the last 15 minutes of the episode because he knows that's where the best content is. And here we are, mate. It's 9:32 p.m. and things have definitely gone south over the last little bit since Mel left us. But yes, that's only fitting. I know a lot of people have a very deep interest in what Uncle Chan's up to, and rest assured, as soon as he contacts the media and shares what he's been up to, you'll hear it here second, after the good people at Canadian Running Magazine share the exclusive. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned, mate, and we'll be back next week. We'll be a bit more straightened up because we'll have the professional in the house. We'll have Elise coming back for part two of her road to Osaka. Little mini, what are we calling it? Mini series, mini documentary, podcast series, where she's detailing her build up. And I know it's in the show notes, but you can follow Elise on Strava because there's a bit of action going down. Some pretty tasty sessions being laid down at over in Adelaide. So very, very interested to hear about all the ins and outs of those ones.
Right. Tasty sessions, spicy long runs, you name it. Been a bit of pacing of friends over there as
well. Yeah,
so
a bit of a bike pacing job maybe on there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know things are getting serious when you're recruiting people to get on a bike and you're just bashing out hard sessions. So very, very interested to hear how she's progressing and be getting right into the meat of things of the marathon block.
Absolutely, mate. First episode of 2024 and we've rode to Osaka, Elise leading the way. Good way to start the year.
Sounds good, mate. Well, you enjoy the New Year celebrations. Don't go too wild.
I will be tucked up in bed by about 10 o'clock. Planning to start the year with a run. So long as there's no lightning, we'll be out running on Monday morning.
That's a good plan. Falling on Monday is good, isn't it?
3-day weekend, come at me. Yeah. Very excited for a 4-day work week. My own fault for not having more holidays. The reason that that's not a bit longer, but yes, 3-day weekend always welcome. Absolutely.
Yeah. Win for that one, mate. All right, we will be back next week.
Shall do. Sounds good.
See you, mate.
See ya.